Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to The Froth, a place to let your brain slip into something more comfortable, a spa break for the mind. Are you sitting frothily? Then we'll begin.
I'm comedian husband Rod Gilbert.
I'm comedy writer wife Shan Harris.
That's Rosie, a dog. And this is...
The Froth.
This week's podcast was recorded in our basement in London, and our special guest is Barry Cattignola, who joins us remotely.
Be warned, there is some occasional fruity language and content. The headlines this week: things that go c*** in the night. Paranormal investigator can't believe his ears when potty-mouthed ghost calls him the C-word. When you're in a ghost quiz and you don't know shit, who are you gonna call? Darren! Rod holds a ghost quiz and Shan's phone a friend is a man she doesn't know, called Darren. As I was about to write this third headline about a comedian and ghost hunter called Barry Dodds, Shan came in the kitchen with a self-help book that's just been delivered to the house. She opened it randomly to a page. The page is a new chapter. At the top, one word, and one word only. The word ghosts. Which genuinely freaked us out a bit. In a phone call to the aforementioned Darren, the Froth team have the most awkward start to a conversation in history. Hashtag, God, it was awkward. And, rah, rah, Rasputin, we talked to comedian Ivo Graham, who's seen his peen.
What?
Rah, rah, Rasputin, we talked to comedian Ivo Graham, who's seen his peen.
Is.
Yes, penis.
Right.
Yeah. But I couldn't say penis because it... Rah, rah, Rasputin, we talked to comedian Ivo Graham, who's seen his penis.
That's much better.
Let's do that. Rah, rah, Rasputin, we talked to comedian Ivo Graham, who's seen his penis. And those were the headlines. Before we bring on special guest Barry Castagnola, and just before you... bore me with the social media rubbish that we've had in this week. Can you just talk... How weird was that book thing, in all honesty?
It was weird.
I was sat in the kitchen yesterday writing these headlines. Sean comes in with a book that just arrived, a self-help book.
Because I need all the help I can get.
He didn't really need to know that. I realised that as I said it in the headline.
Well, I feel like I need to justify why.
Why?
Well, because I'm trying to cope.
A book
every
to
day
help
a
her
new
cope.
Book arrives.
What's it called? Coping with Rod Gilbert.
Coping with Rod.
Coping with Rod.
Yeah, and the first one of the chapters is called Ghosts.
Why is one of the... I don't know.
I haven't read it yet.
First, never mind why one of the chapters in a self-help book is called Ghosts. It genuinely happened. We've got a ghost-themed podcast this week.
Yeah.
I was writing headlines all about ghosts.
Do you not believe in ghosts?
You came in with a new book and go, oh, my new book's arrived. I was like, yeah, whatever. You opened it up, literally randomly, to a page that said ghosts at the top. And that is... On all the podcasts that's coming today, of all the freaky things we'll hear about and all the little things of everybody going, ooh, and this happened to me and that happened to that. Genuinely, nothing is as spooky as that. It's the only spooky thing I accept.
What, do you believe in ghosts now?
No, I just think that is the spookiest thing that's happened.
That I'm reading a book called How to Cope with Your Husband.
It's not actually called How to Cope with Your Fucking Husband.
And what you pick up on is the fact that there's a coincidence.
If I had picked up on the fact every time you got a self-help book,
yeah,
they're like planes coming into Heathrow.
The Delivery Man Cabinet. And that's self-help book.
That's the title of one of them.
You are the only person in the world who can read 9 self-help books a day and not improve at all.
And it's not even touched the sides. I'm still frantically trying to get help for you.
It hasn't touched the sides. You still haven't improved in any way.
I need to get... No, it's not for me,
Cliff. So keep buying them.
It's just coping techniques.
Keep buying them. In fact, I'm going to put up some more shelves. I'm going to put up another... I can't put up a shelf. I would otherwise. If I could put up a shelf, I would put up another 3 shelves so that you could buy more self-help books so you could improve yourself.
You don't need to put them on shelves.
Well, I know, but in terms... The first thing you... One thing that would improve about you is if you stopped having books all over the floor. So why did you do that? Why don't you get a self-help
book?
But I don't
need
to help
help
you put a fucking shelf up so you can put your self-help books on there so we can get them off the floor. That's, that would be a big improvement.
It's for dealing with you.
All right, anyway. On with the show.
Yes.
Unless there's any social media that I desperately need to hear about.
Well, you know this episode is all about ghosts.
I do.
I put a poll out asking people if they believed in ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
And 44% of people told me yes, they do.
Right.
And 56% of people told me to F off.
Well, I am with them. I am with the F offs.
What a surprise.
Yes, what a surprise. Now then, anyway, right. Let's get our special guest on this week, Mr. Barry Castagnola. Are you there, Barry?
Hey, Baz.
Yeah, you know I've been here all along. Let's do this.
Now then, I've got a story here for you two.
Yeah.
It's the idea of the show.
That is the idea of the show. This one is about a ghost. Yep. Only the ghost has done something. Well, you know, normally if you saw a ghost, you wouldn't believe your eyes.
No.
Well, with this ghost, you wouldn't believe your ears either.
A talking ghost?
Not just a talking ghost, a potty mouth ghost.
No.
A potty mouth ghost.
Okay.
A ghost hunter claims that a spirit called him the C word.
If you're a ghost, though, and you don't want to be bothered, and then you've got ghost hunters and psychics and mediums on your case all the time, I'd imagine it could get a bit annoying.
Yeah.
You're going to lash out every now and then as
a
ghost.
Yeah, definitely.
Ghosts are real people, just like us.
Called him the C word. Can you imagine? It's in
he spent 50 hours listening on one of those machines, and it's like, what? Rewinded.
Right, it's in a clip. It's in a clip, in a video clip. The man is walking down Swan View Tunnel, which is an old railway tunnel in Australia, right? And then he's got all his ghost hunting equipment and all this kind of stuff, right? And his little machines, his recorded devices. Suddenly, what seems to be a muffled voice shouts out... Well, the man says, that spirit just called me a C-word. There's a few other voices I captured. Somebody thinks they heard the spirit say, don't talk to him. What do you make of that, Barry? Is he a ghost? And then he insults you with the worst anatomical swear word there is.
The worst part about it is if this guy was a ghost hunter... of some sort. So he's probably dedicated his life to it.
Yeah.
And he's probably, like, the most he's seen would be, like, orbs and flashes and eeriness. And all of a sudden, he actually hears something properly audible, and it's a ghost calling the C-word.
I think you'd be more shocked. You'd be more shocked about the language than you would about seeing the ghost.
Wow.
Normally, if you saw a ghost and the ghost said, ooh, or hello, or something like that, you'd be like, oh, my God, I've seen a ghost.
Yeah.
If you went out and you came home from ghost hunting, you came back, your wife and family are there, you go, anything to let you go, you're not going to believe this. Apparently, it says ghost hunters in Australia, the clip has been shared of this ghost telling him... calling him, abusing this poor ghost.
They've got it on sound?
They've got it on like, camera, I think, yeah, like a clip. Like a video clip.
What, of the ghost appearing?
Well, not the ghost appearing, no.
Just the noise?
Just the sound.
Is it said in an Australian accent?
Ghost hunters, basically, they use a lot of recording equipment, right?
Like, I'm imagining, like, Alf Stewart getting really
you
angry.
Flaming galah.
Yeah, flaming.
What did you call me?
Yeah.
You heard? Big nose.
Big nose.
Basically, ghost hunters, I worked as a paranormal investigator on my work experience series a few years ago, right? And I went out with this, what were they called? Beyond the Grave
Women?
Company. No, Beyond the Grave. Husband and wife team. But they had a whole team of them, enthusiasts. They did it, right? Hours we spent. We went out and did nights here and there. And spent time in caves and all this kind of stuff with all this different equipment. It's all recording equipment. So they record everything, audio record everything.
Yeah.
And then they go back and they listen back to hours and hours and hours and hours. And imagine coming across that. Some people say he says can't, apparently. Some ghost hunters...
Yeah, but what's the context? Shut your mouth, you can't.
Yeah, you can't. Come in here. Maybe he says that.
Oh, maybe.
My mum met a 21-year-old American serviceman called Leroy at the Bovington Tank Museum.
What? What, a ghost,
a
you
ghost
mean?
One?
Yeah, a ghost. Yeah, a ghost. Yeah.
All right, I was just giggling.
They went to a, you know, as you know, they love the Bovington Tank Museum almost as much as they love Monkey World.
Yeah.
And they go there regularly, and they had an overnight one of these sort of ghost sessions, I suppose, with a medium. And there was about 10 of them, and they went, they had a meal, and then they went around the old tanks with torches. And my mum had divining sticks, and she said the divining sticks started spinning, like when she was near this one tank, started spinning. It was an American tank. And then the medium... And I can't vouch for how authentic this medium is. Personally, I suspect not at all. he told them that it was a 21-year-old man called Leroy who had fought in the Second World War from Chicago, who died a couple of days after D-Day, not during D-Day, but a few days after D-Day on the beach, shot in the head.
No way.
That's what the medium told.
Wow.
Told
them. Don't those divining rods just tell you where water is? I'm sure my granddad knew, had a friend who could do that.
Well, you don't need it in Bovington Tank Museum. There's signs for the toilets.
And she said that someone took a picture of... there's a statue outside the... in between where the tank museum is and the barracks. And someone took a picture of a statue. And when they looked back at it, there was like a big shiny sort of halo around it, which I just think was the Flash, but there you go.
Oh, you cynic, Barry. I mean, can I just remind everyone that your mother currently has got 100 cuddly monkeys and takes them out on day trips and stuff.
So
her word isn't the most credible.
It's not
reliable.
As credible.
I just quickly, just
for those who haven't heard about your mum, Barry, we have a feature on this podcast called Apes of Froth, where we talk to your mum and her partner Ian about their massive cuddly toy monkey collection, and hopefully I am hoping that we're going to hear from them very, very soon. Anyway, back to your story, Barry.
My mum called me on my birthday and left me this message. I'd bought her a monkey that repeats what you say. Listen to how annoying this is.
Received 12:15 p.m.
This is my birthday message.
The 23rd of April. Hello, Barry.
Hey, Barry.
Happy birthday to you. Got Eric with me. We wanted to just say, hope you have a lovely day. I don't know if you're working or if you're at home. Oh, shush. Now that's enough. Right,
I'm
putting away.
I don't know how much you heard of that.
Yeah, all of it.
She switched it on and then got annoyed by it a little way in and went, oh, shush.
I love your mum.
Oh, okay. That was my birthday message.
Baz, do you want to hear my ghost story?
Yes, please.
Mine's insane. I've told you, I think.
What did he call you?
But mine's
you
really
a
weird.
Ghost story.
Yes, I have. It's weird.
Do I know it?
Yeah. Yeah, but you being your cynical self, you don't think.
Well,
it's a ghost story.
I tell you what. Why don't we hear the
okay,
story,
Barry? It's,
let's hear the story, and then listeners, you can decide.
Okay. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. I was there on my own in my grandparents' house, and my grandparents have both died, and it was a really stormy night, Barry, setting the scene.
Obviously,
because it's a ghost story, and I was watching. What was I watching? When Gavin met Stacey. That classic.
That, that famous horror.
That famous, yeah. I was watching Gavin and Stacey, because I usually do when I'm on my own there, because it's quite nice. And
it'd be spooky if you've been watching When Gavin Met Stacey, though. A film that's never been made.
It's got a coaster. Baz.
Yes.
Whenever I go to my grandparents' house, right, I'm obsessed with trying to find secret messages from my grandmother.
I mean, that could be part of the problem.
Yeah. No, listen, because I often find messages from her, because she used to practice. She didn't speak, she did speak English, yeah. But she didn't write English very often because she was first language Welsh. So yeah. She would practice her English handwriting on the, you know, the inside of tights, like you get that bit of cardboard.
No, I don't actually. I'll
you know, like 10 den tights and stuff. When you buy a pack of tights, you get the inside bit. And my grandmother used to practice her writing on it. So if I go through her drawers, then I find messages from her. But then this incident, when I was in the house years later, about 15 years later, so both my grandparents are dead. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm watching Gavin and Stacey. Because I often watch it when I'm on my own because I find it comforting. There's a bit in it where James Corden or something does something that's really funny and I laugh out loud. And I've been looking for stuff all... I was there for the weekend, so I've been looking through drawers and everything. I can't find anything. And every time I go there, I find something new. And I was, you know, getting a bit disappointed that I hadn't found anything. And I'm going through my grandmother's cookery book thinking, surely there must be something in here because she loved cooking and she was always writing stuff down and putting it inside. There's nothing. I've gone through all of it and I've kind of decidedly just put it down, right? So I put the book down thinking there's nothing in it. I pick it back up again. It sounds like nonsense, but I pick it back up again and the book is upside down, bearing in mind that I've just laughed out loud on my own, which I rarely do. It's a really weird thing, especially 2 o'clock in the morning. It's a weird noise. I pick the book up, it's now upside down, and the very last thing in the book, written in my grandmother's handwriting, is "Don't laugh, Sian." And I threw the book. I threw the book across the room and was like, oh my God, that's insane.
Yeah. That freaked me out.
Yeah, no, totally freaked me out. And I've showed it to you since, haven't I?
What are your thoughts on that, Rod?
Bollocks.
In a word. What's the explanation for it?
Just you're lying.
I've shown you it.
Well, lying or mad or what? I mean, what? You know. Right. As somebody once said, with all the zillion, billion, trillion, gazillion things happening at any one time in the world.
Is this Confucius
it's
again?
It's amazing there aren't more coincidences.
True, but come on, what a coincidence.
I rest my case.
I just laughed out loud, which I don't do because...
Yeah, we heard the story.
I don't live with anyone who's that funny.
We heard the story.
And then it said...
We heard the story.
Don't laugh, Sian.
Yeah. I think of all... I mean, you know, yeah, it's a coincidence.
Yeah, but why would she write that in a cookery book upside down?
She's got you there.
But Baz, the only explanation I have for it is that once when I was younger and she was still alive, she was on the phone and I was like dicking about and she told me to stop laughing or something and wrote it down and shoved it towards me.
And then she held up her cookery book, turned it upside down and wrote, "Don't laugh, Sian." I mean, it could be that time. It could be that one. Could be another one.
Which side are you on? That's the logical explanation.
I am on the logical explanation,
well,
whatever it is.
Why are you mocking that?
I'm not mocking that.
You just mocked it.
I'm mocking the fact that you've told it first as a ghost story, then secondly you told me but there was an occasion where she turned a cookery book upside down and wrote "Don't laugh, Sian" on it.
No,
and without connecting the two stories.
That's a possibility, I said.
That's a possibility.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the jury is out. It could be the time she wrote it on the cookery book and turned it and showed you it, or it could be, ignoring that story,
I mean,
it could be a ghost story.
I don't know if that happened. I'm explaining it away.
Oh, I thought you said it did happen.
No.
Oh. Right, let's do a ghost quiz. See if you and Sian know your onions about ghosts.
Okay,
I'm not feeling confident.
I am.
Well, I mean, Sian, since you believe in them, I presume you know quite a bit. Ghost quiz! Woo. We always start easy on the quiz. It's to get you all on the board. So at the end of the game, everyone feels like they've achieved something.
Okay.
So here it is. Question one, ghost quiz. British philosopher... Fingers on the buzzers, Sian. Fingers on the buzzers, Barry.
Okay.
Yes.
British philosopher Gilbert Ryle introduced a phrase in 1949 to highlight the view of Descartes and others that mental and physical activity occur simultaneously but separately. The phrase was, "What in the machine?"
Ghosts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Come on, Barry. You've got to be quicker than that, mate.
I was thinking gremlins.
Because Barry doesn't believe in ghosts.
What one word can be a ghost?
Hang on, Sian's buzzed. Sian's
buzzed. Oh, yeah, okay, Sian's buzzed. Okay, Sian, what?
Writer?
Wrong. You're now frozen out
no,
the game.
No, I'm not. That's a new rule that you put in.
It's a new rule. Well, I've never had
That's a new rule that you put in for wives.
No, it's a new rule that I've had to put in because I've never had anybody buzz before the question's been asked before.
Bit trigger happy, weren't you, Sian?
It was a bit trigger happy. What one word, Barry?
Yes.
Playing alone now. Can be
Is he?
Yes, he is. Because you've been frozen out, so anything you say in this
I'm trying to make it spooky.
Well, you can do whatever you want, but you're not getting the point.
I can do whatever I want.
You can do whatever you want. It's your house. It's your basement. Ooh.
Is it, though?
Partially. What one word, Barry, can be a ghost or a spy?
Hold on.
Barry?
Spook.
Is the right answer. It's 1-1 in Ghost Quiz. Question 3. Question 3. Poltergeist is a German word literally meaning what?
Bzzzt.
Sian.
Ghost in the TV.
No.
Well, Geist means ghost.
Don't pretend you know that, Barry.
Ooh. Well, I did German, actually.
Disruptive ghost.
Thank you very much.
Oh, did you?
Wie komme ich am besten zum Bahnhof, bitte?
Ooh.
What's that?
I'd like a coffee, bitte.
What's the way to the station?
Oh.
Wo ist die Geist? Where is the ghost?
Okay, so poltergeist is...
Not, is it disruptive ghost?
I don't
well,
know.
You're not far off, actually.
Is it naughty ghost?
She's already had a go.
Oh, yeah. Barry? I mean, no, it's a free-for-all now.
It's a free-for-all.
The quiz is back on.
Yeah, is it naughty ghost?
Let's just say you wouldn't take him to a library.
Loud ghost. Noisy ghost.
Yes. Noisy ghost is the right answer. 2-1.
Slow reading ghost.
Patrick Swayze, Demi Moore and Gloria Honeyfoot. No, not Gloria Honeyfoot.
What? ITV.
Hang on a minute. I've literally written down Patrick Swayze, Demi Moore and Gloria Honeyfoot.
Do you mean Whoopi Goldberg?
Yes, that's what I meant. Whoopi Goldberg.
I always get those two mixed up.
Really?
Well, I did. I must have been very tired.
Oh, please, I want to see a film with Gloria Honeyfoot in it.
That is how has that happened?
I'd like to see Gloria Honeyfoot as the Terminator.
Patrick Swayze, Demi Moore and Gloria Honeyfoot. I mean, Whoopi Goldberg, we've done it again. Name the 1990 film, Barry.
Ghost.
Absolutely right. To all. In the 1st century AD, the great Roman author and statesman Pliny the Younger recorded one of the first notable ghost stories, reporting that the spectre of an old man with a long what was haunting his house in Athens.
Leg.
Sean.
Leg.
You think he was reporting the spectre of an old man with a long leg?
Yes.
No? I mean, God,
what is it then?
Why would he have one long leg?
I don't know, it's spooky.
A long history of haunting people.
No?
Do you want to get another go?
Yeah.
Face.
A beard.
No.
Hey? A beard.
Beard is the right answer.
Thank you.
Barry. In Scooby-Doo, Shaggy has a characteristic speech pattern marked by his frequent use of the filler word, like. But what's his main exclamation when startled? Barry.
I think it's either yikes or something like that. Can I phone my friend?
You can use your phone a friend if you want.
I'll tell you who I'm going to try. I'm going to try, do you know the comedian Barry Dodds?
Hello, everyone.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Barry.
Hey, Rod, how are you doing?
Hang on a minute. Can I just ask something? Why have you chosen Barry Dodds to as your phone a friend for this question?
Because anything to do with ghosts, Barry is the man. Barry, tell him about your interest in ghosts. Tell Rod about your interest in ghosts.
So I'm a ghost hunter. I've been
you're not, are you?
Ghost hunting.
I promise you, I have.
Brilliant.
I've been going on ghost hunts since I was about 13. I went on my first one with a radio station, and now, as I've grown older, I do it sort of semi-professionally. At the moment, I always try and spend the night places, and I do it about a couple of times a month. I'll go and sleep somewhere haunted for the night.
When you say you sleep somewhere haunted, Barry, you mean you go and sleep somewhere and imagine it's haunted?
Oh, no, I think it is haunted.
Sian, by the way, believes in ghosts.
I totally believe in
it. I know they don't exist, so carry on.
did a ghost hunt once, didn't you, Rod?
I went out for a few days with some paranormal investigators beyond the grave down in Wales. And I have to say that while some of the things I did, my fight or flight responses, I was very alert.
You were shitting yourself.
I was shitting myself, yes, but that doesn't mean the world is haunted just because I was scared. That is fight or flight responses, darkness, it's imagination, it's all of those things. But I tell you what, they called me round very excited, the paranormal investigators. They said, we got something for you to hear. 50 hours later... and I'm talking about sitting in a room with headphones on. 50 hours later, they went, did you hear that? They said, there. I said, what? So we rewound it. We turned it all up, all the and then 50 hours in, they were right. There was an audible boop.
Well, how do you explain that?
Exactly. That's pretty much what they said. They sat back in their chairs discovered the Earth was round. Let me just take you through it again. Here it is. 50 hours of silence and then... Boop.
But how would you explain that in a
cave? What do you mean, how do you explain that? Oh, how do I explain that two people sat there for 50 hours? I'll tell you what, I'll let Barry take over.
Barry, where's the scariest place?
Where does this Mountain Illness start,
Barry? What's the scariest place you've been?
The scariest place I've been?
Yeah.
There's two places I find them sort of hard to separate. One of them is Chillingham Castle in Northumberland. I've been there more than any other place. I've been going there since I was a teenager. I go there at least once a year and stay there. And
how many hours would you say you've wasted there, Barry?
Well, even it's a very nice place to stay. It's a great place to go and relax, and tend to go there for my birthday every year.
Is it like a spa?
That doesn't sound very haunted. A great place to go and relax.
I tend to half ghost and half relax that place. The other place is...
Why is that so scary, Barry? Why is that? Have you seen anything there?
Why is it scary? The thing is there's something about Chillingham.
And the name's quite...
I've always felt...
Is it the park
there.
And ride?
But every now and again, I'll be walking through the courtyard, say...
Yeah.
And I'll just get a feeling of, first of all, this incredible feeling of being watched.
You know they've got CCTV there, don't you?
and a real feeling of being unwelcome. I get that a lot in rooms that I go into. but yeah, just a real sense of I shouldn't be here. In fact, I went there, it was my 30th birthday. I was with an ex-partner. She wasn't an ex at the time, that would have been weird. But we were...
When you say ex, you're still alive, yeah?
Yeah, she's still alive. I'm a ghost hunter, Rod, not a serial killer.
Yeah, but I presume you still go out with them after they're dead. That's not going to stop you.
And... I got told that on this occasion, because it was my 30th, all her family were there and all my family were there, and it was the first time the families had met. And I got
told... Oh, that's not a weird place to meet, is it?
Neutral ground, at least. And they were so... I got told by my ex-partner, she said, look, keep the ghost bollocks to a nonsense. Keep it to a minimum, right? Because for a start, you know, some of her families, she thought they might be a bit scared by it. And also, her mother was a vicar.
Oh, God.
She said, yeah, it might be disrespectful, you know. we were all around the fire one night. We'd been out for a meal and then got the taxi back to the castle. And we sat in the apartment all around the fire and all having a drink. And in the middle of it, there was this long dining table that would have sat about 12 people. And there was a brass peacock in the middle of it. And then all of a sudden, there was this huge bang. And everyone jumped up and turned, because it was behind us, and we turned around, and this noise of scraping, and then we looked, and this brass peacock had been picked up, thrown into the table with some force. It dented the wood of the table, this antique table. It had been picked up and thrown, and was spinning in the kitchen area on the tiles.
How many of you witnessed this, Barry?
Well, this is the thing. None of us saw it, because we were all stood... We were all sat round the fire, talking, having a drink, relaxing.
Right.
Behind us was where the long table was. So nobody was looking at it. We just heard the noise turned and then it was over spinning in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I immediately was like, oh my God, like I've been looking for this for years. And then it happened and I'm with the vicar and I can't get excited.
What did the vicar make of it?
Do you know what? Somebody walked over, picked it up and put it back on the table and it was never talked about.
They didn't talk about it.
No.
We didn't talk
about it. What
do you mean?
You never discussed it? Nobody even went, that's a bit weird with the old peacock over there, the old...
I think Celebrity Big Brother was on at the time and I think her mother was looking disapprovingly at Michael Barrymore, as I remember.
Gosh, that is insane, that story.
See, I don't know what to say to you because I don't believe in them. But what do I say to what do I say to somebody like?
But it's energy, like you know. Sometimes you can walk into a room and go, "Yeah, this is a bad vibe." Or,
yeah, but
this
the old
is
brass peacock is something else, isn't it?
Yeah, what that is something else.
I just have to assume that you are either A, lying, or just mistaken, deluded. I don't know, or just mistaken in some way, or just imagined it. I don't know.
You wouldn't say that about someone's religion, though, would you?
Yes.
Oh.
This is what I've always, because I get a lot of stick for
I'm sure, yeah,
for doing the ghost hunting. And
hey, Barry,
can I just say,
not from me, you won't. Carry on.
Barry, yeah. It, what must have been gutting though when the peacock incident happened, and you're there with a vicar, a girlfriend's mum who you can't celebrate in front of or be excited in front of. It must be like going to like a cup final and sitting in the away end and watching your team score.
Sort of, yeah. Very much like it.
Yeah.
Oh, just very much every part
pretending
of you
you're
go,
not watching
yes,
it.
Yes, all these years coming in. Before you go, I've got...
oh, yes, the reason we rang you, Barry, is that sometimes I hold a quiz to see if Sian and Barry know their onions about the subject under discussion. This week, the discussion is about ghosts at the moment. And Barry has chosen to ring you as someone who knows a lot about ghosts. Now we're on the quiz. Barry's doing very well, but he needs your help. Okay.
So okay.
The next voice you hear will be Barry's. You'll recognise it. We've got very different accents. The next voice you'll have 30 seconds, Barry, to answer. Barry. Oh, Barry. I've only just noticed you're two Barrys. This is very
double
confusing.
Double Barry.
Well, you've only just noticed.
I've only just noticed.
It's been frying my brain for 20 minutes.
So Barry Dodds. Barry D. Barry D.
You don't often get a double Barry.
You don't.
It's very rare.
It's very rare. We're probably the first double Barry podcast. So Barry D. Barry Dodds. Barry D. I'll call you Barry D from now on just to make things easier. Barry Castagnola. Okay. Barry C. So Barry D. The next voice you hear will be Barry C's.
Okay.
He's going to ask you a question. Okay, Barry C, take it away.
Okay, Barry, the question was Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. What is the word?
I can't believe
we're
wasting your time. A serious ghost hunter. This is the question you've rung up to ask him.
this is insulting,
Barry D, I'm afraid.
It's all right. Barry thinks Scooby-Doo's a documentary. What's the what's the exclamation that Shaggy lets out? What was the actual question, Rod? It was about he lets out a sort of an exclamation.
His main exclamation when he's startled. Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. What is Shaggy from Scooby-Doo? His main exclamation when he's startled. Barry, you thought it was Barry C. You thought it was something like
yikes, or something like that.
I'm going to go with zoiks.
Okay, can you spell that for me, please, Barry D?
Z-O-I-K-S.
Oh, is what I thought.
Oh, no, it's E-S.
I'm sorry, Barry. Stop there, Barry D. That is what I thought I'd heard, but seeing as you're somewhere away on the phone, and I just wanted to double check, that's why I asked you to spell it. I hope, forgive me for my pedantry. It's zoinks. Zoinks. With an N. Z-O-I-N-K. There is no point. There is no...
Zoinks was Screech from Saved by the Bell.
You're not giving
Quite
me...
possibly.
He's done zoinks and you're not giving me zoinks.
Why would I give you zoinks when he said zoinks?
Oh, because you... Oh, come on. Even Chris Tarrant would have given that.
I'm afraid, but Barry, thanks very much for...
That was for a million,
so
mate.
That was for the million.
that was for a million.
Yeah. You're joking.
Thanks a lot. Yeah. £1 million, that was. Cheers.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, think what I could have done.
Do you know what? I don't think I'm going to be able to show my face in the Ghost Hunting Society meetings ever again.
Oh, Christ. You'd be fine with that lot. They're all idiots. Stick a sheet over your head. When you turn up next time, they won't notice you.
They'll be over the moon.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Well, no point, Barry. No point there.
Got it.
It's 2-2. What ghostly sound can still sometimes be heard coming from Al Capone's prison cell in Alcatraz?
Right, can I phone somebody?
Yes, you can phone. You have, in this quiz, each of you has a phone a friend option.
Right,
who would
I'm
you like to ring?
Well, I don't know them, but I want to phone the man who did Paranormal Investigator with you on Work Experience.
Hang
Darren.
On. Sean, you can't call someone else's friend.
Yes, I can.
It's not called phone anyone's friend.
Rod was a very good friend of them. He was very rude.
Never on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire has anyone ever gone, they go, who do you want to call? A man? Someone?
Yeah.
Darren.
You're going to phone Darren from
phone
Beyond
Darren.
The Grave Paranormal Investigators,
yeah.
Who I haven't seen. That series is about 4 years ago. I haven't had any contact with them since.
Yes, well,
In this world or another. So we're going to ring him.
Yeah.
I've got his number.
Yeah, well, he'll know what I'm talking about. Hi,
hello,
Darren.
It's Rod Gilbert here, and that was
Sean
Harris, my wife, that you just heard.
Hiya,
mate. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
I'm all right. Long time no speak. Are you still paranormal investigating?
Do you know, we've sort of backed off it for the moment. My dad was really bad last year.
Was he?
Yeah, he had to have both his legs off. So.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, he's half the man he used to be now.
Oh, I hope that's a line he uses, not you.
Oh, both of us. It's all right. The day he told him he needed to take his legs off, within a minute, I said, can I have your ladders? So, because he's not going to need them anymore. So he's a bit like me in that respect.
Hey, presumably he might need them, though, if he hasn't got any legs.
No, he don't need them anymore.
How is he going to get stuff off the top shelf? He probably needs his ladders more than ever.
I know. He's like a chicken nugget now.
Oh, bless him. Give him our regards.
I will do, mate. I will do.
Are you still a believer, though?
Yeah, I still believe there's something around there, mate. Still, you know, there's always that little thing that you can't explain that happens.
Any interesting, you know, sightings, hearings?
I find it fascinating. I love it.
Yeah, in the last 3 or 4 years since I saw you.
Yeah, to be honest, nothing major. There are obviously a few things with the voice recorders and a few people have seen things, but nothing major.
Listen, we're in the middle of a ghost quiz here, right? That's
okay.
Why... So Barry and Sean are here with me, and they're both doing very well in the quiz, but Sean, there's a phone-a-friend option.
Right.
And Sean...
I thought it would be a great idea to phone you.
Right, so your time starts now, Sean.
What? Okay, Darren.
Oh, yeah.
What ghostly sound Hiya. What ghostly sound could still sometimes be heard coming from Al Capone's prison cell in Alcatraz?
Oh, crying, you know, now you got me.
Do you know anything about Al Capone's ghost, Darren? Oh, we lost him.
Darren?
Lost him. He's gone to look it up. He's disappeared. That's what's going to happen now. I'm not falling for this one. He'll call back in a couple of minutes and go, is the clock still going? He's Googled it. He's gone to Google it. You cheating bastard, Darren.
I'm back.
Oh, hi, Darren.
Hi, yeah.
Darren, don't pretend you haven't just been to Google it.
No, I lost my phone in completely.
Oh, yeah. Easily done when it's in your hand. And then the next thing you know, he looked down, it's gone. What, it just disappeared, did it? Just like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, disappeared. I think Al Capone had it.
You say no major incidents have happened and your phone know, disappears phone from under your nose and reappears 10 seconds later.
Do you have any idea?
Like a music or something like that?
Whistle.
Like
a whistle
or music?
Ooh, music. It is music.
Is it?
What kind of music?
Oh, jazz? God, of Al Capone. It's got to be some sort of...
Go for an instrument.
In the prison, maybe something like a guitar or a harmonica. Banjo, something like that. I don't know, something old-fashioned music.
It is!
Is it?
It is ghostly banjo music.
Do we play the banjo?
Ooh. I don't know, Sean.
I don't know whether
Al Capone played the banjo, but it is ghostly banjo music. You've won the point. I'm going to give it to you.
Can I just say, sorry, Darren. Darren, sorry to include you in this, but I had an option as well to phone a friend, right?
You phoned your friend, Barry.
Yes, and my question, I'll just explain to Darren it, see if he thinks this is fair. My question was, what does Shaggy from Scooby-Doo exclaim when he's scared? And...
Hello? I tell you what, Darren's gone to Google it again.
He's not interested in that story.
He's gone to Google it again, Barry. Every single time we ask him a question, his phone goes dead mysteriously for a few seconds. Then he comes back on, surprisingly, gets it from nowhere. If he comes back on now and goes, oh, it's something like zoinks, zoinks or something. Every time we ask him the question, he disappears in a ghostly way.
The point I was trying to make...
Oh, you're back.
I can hear you. This is weird.
Oh, sorry, mate. I thought you'd gone.
Okay.
I was busy slagging you off for cheating there.
Yeah, I heard you. It's all right. I got it all recorded.
The point I was trying to make, Darren, was that my phone a friend answered Zoinks. And Rod said, I'm sorry, I can't give it to you. It's actually Zoinks. Whereas with you, you can name seven instruments and Rod leads you right to banjo and Sean gets a point. I'm asking you this, Darren. He's married to one, he's not to the other. Do you think this is fair?
I think... No.
Thanks very much, Darren.
Everyone should know what Shaggy says.
This week's winner is... Sean Harris.
Yay! Oh, it's a fix. It's a fix.
It was a fix, yeah.
Yeah. I've got to get something out of being married to Rod.
Hey, talking of ghosts and things, news this week. Let me just find the story here. You're not going to believe this, what's turned up. Talking of ghosts and things from the past, things, dead things. Here's the headline. Is this the foot-long preserved penis of Rasputin?
What? You didn't have a foot long.
There it is.
There's a picture
for you.
How do they preserve it?
If you can see that on FaceTime, but how do they preserve it?
He drowned.
It's basically, this is the somewhat disturbing prize, it says. I don't know what the competition was.
Spot the ball.
Oh, sorry. Prize specimen. Yeah, very good, sir.
Yeah, thanks.
This is the somewhat disturbing prize specimen. Sorry, I should have read on.
All right.
In Russia, a museum of sex and erotica.
What?
Has opened. We went to a sex museum.
Russia.
No, in Prague.
Yeah.
We went to the sex museum in Prague.
Yeah.
And then we went down the street and we went to the torture museum.
And they were equally...
Honestly, they were virtually the same.
They were... Yeah, exactly the same.
Practically the same exhibits. You were going... Sometimes you forgot which one you were in.
Yeah, which one is this?
Anyway, back to the story, right? This is the somewhat... So it's got a picture here. This, and they're claiming that they've got the preserved 12-inch penis, yes, you heard, of legendary lover... And mystic Grigori Rasputin.
Nah, he was a hypnotist. How did they get
him? Sean, yeah. He was a hypnotist. Guess what he used to swing to get him to sing?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Apparently, he used to stink of old goats.
Old goats?
Yeah.
What?
Really?
I know a lot about Rasputin.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you know he had a foot-long penis? Level.
No, they kept that up the syllabus. They didn't like him because he was getting too powerful with the Tsar.
Well, there's a picture here, basically, of a man in a white suit and a tie holding a jar, and inside the jar is a 12-inch long preserved penis and testicles. There it is. Sean's having a good
awful.
Old... Awful. It says here, so is this the foot-long preserved penis of Rasputin? Or at least that's what the owner of the museum claims.
Hang on a minute.
Then again, he's also previously claimed that simply viewing the penis can cure men of impotency.
Right. How are you feeling?
Why has he got it in the jar like some sort of pickled dick? Why is it there?
It is a pickled dick.
Is it pickled?
No, but why has he got a pickled dick?
Because he's... What do you mean? I don't understand the question.
Okay. He owns the museum. I understand that part. It's the bit before that. The bit after Rasputin dying... And before this museum owner having his dick in the jar.
Yeah.
It's the bit in between that I'm not clear between. Off.
Is your question, how did he get Rasputin's penis in a jar?
Yeah.
Or someone, yeah, and why?
I don't know how he came across it, how he came into his possession, how it came to be on his shelf. I don't know, Barry.
But why did anyone go, oh, Rasputin, I know what we need from him.
Yeah.
Not his brain, not anything else. We'll take his penis.
Yeah, but if he's a famous lover and then somebody found the body and he has got a foot-long penis...
He wasn't a famous lover. He was a hypnotist.
Yeah, that's true.
He was a famous lover, wasn't he?
No.
Rasputin, lover of the Russian queen. Foot-long penis.
Is that where you get your history from?
Yeah, Bonboniam.
Hey, is that why... And it's definitely true that Hitler only had one ball, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's on the next page.
Has he got that?
Yeah.
Has he got it in a drawer?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what you'd cut off, though, isn't it? If that's what he was, a famous lover, and he's got a foot-long penis, that's more remarkable than just going, hey, look at this brain.
He wasn't known for being a famous lover. He's not like...
I'm on Wikipedia now. I'm going to have a look.
Of course he was.
He smelled of old
Rasputin, lover of the Russian queen.
No, he's famous for being a hypnotist who the Tsar was... He was getting too much power with the Tsar because he used to hypnotise his son, who had hemophilia.
Rasputin was a famous ladies' man.
He had hemophilia.
Famous ladies' man.
No, he just used to hypnotise him.
In late 1906, Rasputin began acting as a healer for the only son of Tsar Nicholas II, Alexei, who suffered from hemophilia.
Yep.
He was a divisive figure at court, seen by some Russians as a mystic, visionary and prophet, while others as a religious charlatan.
Yeah.
I don't see anything about him being
a
lover.
He used to bang a lot of women.
Oh, there you go.
He'd bang a lot of women.
What's going on, Sean?
Yeah, but people didn't know him for being a lover.
A minute ago, you said, Rasputin, he's not known for being a lover.
He's a hypnotist.
He did bang a lot of women. What's going on?
Yeah, but he's not known for being a lover. You wouldn't take his penis.
Right, okay, so you've gone back to that one now. It's like listening to Donald Trump.
Is it?
Well, you just said he's not known for being a lover. He did bang a lot of women. He's not known for being a lover.
You know what I mean, though.
Have you having some kind of...
Oh, I can't remember what we're talking about.
I'm not surprised.
I'm exhausted.
Rasputin's knob.
Rasputin's penis.
Oh, yeah, Rasputin's penis.
Yeah. Read on, Barry. Find a bit about... Put in Google Rasputin and lovers.
He did bang a lot of women.
Rasputin, Casanova, lovers,
they
penis.
All thought he
Google
was
all
like...
that kind of thing. And then delete your browsing history. Google footlong penis and see if Rasputin comes up and then delete your browsing history, Barry.
I've got five myths and truths here.
Right, here we go. Rasputin quiz.
Baz, why can't we... We need to guess what's a myth and what's true.
Okay,
right. This one. Born to peasants in a small village in western Siberia...
True.
The young...
Thank you.
I haven't finished.
Doesn't matter.
The young Rasputin turned to religion early in his life, even as a child. Rumours among the local populace were that Rasputin had certain mystical gifts. Despite marrying and fathering several children, Rasputin abandoned family life in search of Orthodox Christian religious devotion and piety. Following years of wandering religious teaching, Rasputin ended up at St. Petersburg, the seat of the royal power. Through various connections, Rasputin became known to Tsar Nicholas, Nicholas and his wife, Tsarina Alexandra.
Yeah, true.
True. We're still playing true or false?
Yeah. No. Right. Okay, this one you might like more. True or myth? Not true or false, this is true or myth. He was a sexual deviant and the Queen's lover.
Right.
Myth.
Well, the Rod? Point is, whether it's a myth or it's true or anything else, the point is he has a reputation now as known of being a lover.
Nah.
A bit of a Casanova, a bit of a gigolo, a bit of a player. Yes, so I'm going to... Well, it could be true or it could be a myth, but it's definitely a myth, isn't it? It's definitely out there. Okay. It's definitely a thing. It's definitely a true myth. It's definitely a true myth. Myth. True. True. Final answer.
A true myth.
It's definitely a true myth.
This is what Time magazine has to say about it. Tales of Rasputin's sexual exploits began to spread early into his time with the royal court, as his eccentric behaviour, like drinking heavily and visiting brothels, was seen to clash with his religious piety. Do you think so?
According
to some historians, there is no evidence to suggest Rasputin was a sex-crazed maniac who had a secret affair with Russia's queen. Therefore, the song might well be wrong.
But the fact remains...
Isn't there a nightclub called Rasputin's in Tennessee?
Probably.
I'm sure there is.
Now, look, the fact is he's got a bit of a reputation as a ladies' man, hasn't he? That's that as a lover. That is what he has. Right. The Erotica exhibition in St. Petersburg hosts a variety of sculptures and paintings, but the main attraction is the alleged 30-centimetre... I tell you what, they're going... how many different ways could they say this? It's a foot long, it's 12 inches, it's
half
30 centimetres. It's the same as the larger baguette in Subway. And how many different ways are they going to find to say foot-long penis?
A yard.
300-millimetre whopper.
It's a full loaf.
It's a full loaf. The alleged 30-centimetre penis. So this is the main attraction. Yeah. Preserved...
Seven guineas worth.
Yeah.
Is it like the Mona Lisa? So when you go in there, there's loads of people just hanging around it?
Yeah, that's where the main...
You can't really get a look at it, and it follows you around the room with its eye.
That's Pigeon's foot-long penis.
Where's he got it from?
Where's he get the penis from?
Yeah.
I probably cut it off him, I imagine.
Yeah, but he wasn't there, was he? This is like 1918.
No, but...
Not before then.
Yeah, I know, but somebody cut it off him then, and it's been passed down, hasn't it?
What, from generation to generation?
From generation to generation.
In the jail or not? Yeah. In a drawer?
In people's wills and sometimes...
Imagine your brother gets a lovely antique pocket watch.
I'd rather have Rasputin's
Dad,
penis.
I know I'm not the favourite.
I'd much rather have Rasputin's penis.
I really don't want the stinking massive penis.
What, you'd rather have the watch?
Yeah. God, yeah.
Would you?
Yeah.
You don't even wear a watch.
I don't want to set up a museum.
Igor Knyazkin has previously boasted of his... Oh, he's the guy who owns the museum, I think.
Yeah.
Igor Knyazkin has previously boasted of his prized possession. Having this exhibit, he says, we can stop envying America. We're Napoleon Bonaparte's...
What?
That's a great statement.
Igor Knyazkin has previously... What he says is, having this exhibit, right... It means we can stop envying America when Napoleon Bonaparte's penis is now kept.
Oh, amazing. My God.
Napoleon's penis, he says, is but a small pod. It cannot stand comparison to our organ of 30 centimetres. We must know somebody who knows about Rasputin. My dad would know. He's a Russian expert, but I can't ring him. He's in a care home in West Wales. I can't ring him asking him questions about Rasputin's penis.
No.
Oh, look, let's put this to bed. Let's give somebody a ring. Who do we know, Barry, who knows something about Rasputin?
No, I know who. Ivor Graham, I reckon.
Hi, Ivor.
Hey, Ivor.
No,
how's it going?
Hello, Sean. Hello, Rod.
So Rod's got a bit of a question for you. I nominated you for a quick phone call because I seem to remember that you've got a degree in Russian, haven't you?
I have got a degree in Russian, Barry. Thank you for remembering. And this is the first time I've used it in 8 years.
Well, you say that. I wouldn't get too excited, Ivo. I mean,
this is what it was made for.
Let me just check your credentials. Where did you get your degree in Russian from?
I got a low 2-1 from the University of Oxford.
So, you know Rasputin... Was he a big Casanova lover type?
Well, it's rather in conflict with his supposed religious beliefs, but he very much had his cake and ate it, romance-wise. I believe that he was. I don't believe that he was a lover of the Tsarina Alexandra. He just had such a close, emotionally dependent friendship with her that he might have mistaken it for romantic love. And God knows I've had a few of those myself over the years. Yeah. But yes, he was a dirty dog. I think he was a dirty dog with an enormous log.
What do you know about Rasputin's penis?
I know that it was famed for being extremely large, and it was much desired when he was alive, and indeed has been much desired since he died. The immortal penis.
Did they cover this on the course?
It wasn't a main thing covered in any of the lecture series on campus, but we were encouraged, if possible, to use any of our extracurricular time to explore the issue further. And indeed, if possible, to use our year abroad to visit the Erotica Museum in St. Petersburg, where the absolutely enormous dong is apparently preserved.
Have you seen it?
It is in a museum of erotica, which has a sort of one of those Matryoshka doll women as the logo, but she's undressing, but not to reveal another lady inside her, just to show off her own wares. And it's a pretty gaudy affair, to be honest, the whole thing.
Seen the penis?
So it's there in a glass box?
It's there in a glass case, and it's got a little curtain around it. So when you enter the
all
room,
all penises have a curtain around them.
Yes, mine was called my personality for the first 21 years of my life. But you can look behind the curtain. But it's like it's as if to give you one final chance when you've entered the room. It's like, are you sure though? It is a big penis, so we have put a curtain there.
Like the Wizard of Oz, do you want to do this?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there's no going back. There's no closing that. Well, you can close the curtain, but you can't...
Your life is divided into two parts. Pre-Rasputin's penis and post-Rasputin's penis.
So, Ivo...
Have you seen it, then?
Hang on a second. Let me set this up properly, because when we were discussing Rasputin's penis, there was a thing in the paper about it, about somebody that said they had it, and then, and was it, wasn't it? And it was the putative penis. You know, is it Rasputin's penis? Many have made the claim. When Barry said, let's ring Ivo, he knows he's got a degree in Russian. Nobody could have known. Even Barry didn't know that you would have been and seen it and pulled back the curtain.
It's very rare that someone can call you up for work and your response to the inquiry is, yeah, I've seen the penis, I can talk to you about it.
Can you talk us through...
And it's fine.
Can you talk us through the moment, you know, so the two different parts of your life, pre-penis and curtain post-penis. Can you talk us through how that... What do you remember about the day?
I was already quite an insecure person at the best of times, and this was about 2010, 2011, so pre sort of body positivity, really, as a movement. So I was carrying around a great deal of sexual anxiety and a great deal of penile shame, and those are the things that I carried with me into the Erotica Museum of St. Petersburg. So obviously it is a very large preserved penis. There is obviously a lot of mystery in terms of whether it is actually his, and a few different museum curators, and I use that word very generously, have claimed to have it in the past. And there was one where it wasn't actually his penis, but it was actually a piece of fish. So, you know, you could basically turn up with any sort of...
That'd be fairly obvious, wouldn't it?
Well, you'd think...
Like a breaded haddock?
Well, no, I don't think it was breaded, Rod, but it's...
Did it have a mouth?
I've never seen fish that wasn't breaded or battered.
So he must be really pissed off that's all we talk about now is his penis, and he did so many things. He was a hypnotist, wasn't he?
He would be spinning in his castrated grave at the thought that his medical achievements weren't being paid more tribute to. But then, you know, Boney M did a fairly good job of kicking the legacy on a little bit, and they actually give very little time in the song to
his penis. So you ran past the room with Gorbachev's birthmark.
Yeah, that's of no interest to me whatsoever, Rob. Thank you very much. It'd have to be a long time in isolation before I could start to feel any
excitement at all
for Gorbachev's birthmark.
So you walked in the room.
Yes.
And there it was over there?
behind the curtain. So I elected to look behind the curtain. I sort of, you know, when you're in a museum and you stare at a piece of art and you don't really know how long is the appropriate length of time to stare at it, and you know how long it takes to digest all the cultural and historical weight of the artifact.
Yeah.
Well, that's really quite significant in this case as well. A small queue is starting to form of people going, right, move along.
So it was enormous.
It's very large. It's almost implausibly large.
It was a human penis. It looked like a human. You were happy.
Well, yeah, I didn't mistake it for a fish, although we've established that the two are broadly interchangeable.
But it wasn't like a horse or a rhino or a donkey. You were happy. You satisfied yourself.
What do you mean?
That it was a human.
I was satisfied that if I was being lied to by the Museum of Erotica, it was a lie that was based on it being another human's penis rather than another species' penis. And that was the compromise that I was prepared to make, essentially. It's a rather sad image, to be honest. Mm. But equally, it stirs the mind even further as to what it might be capable of at full stretch. If Rasputin was a shower and a grower, then, as the museum like to say, we're going to need a bigger curtain.
That's all we got time for.
Thanks for listening.
And thanks to special guest Barry Castagnola.
And thanks to Barry Dodds, Darren from Beyond the Grave, and Ivor Graham.
Don't forget, you can find us on social media at The Froth Podcast, where you can find extra froth content.
And if you enjoyed any of this nonsense, don't forget to like and subscribe and rate us at 5 stars.
Spread the word if you enjoyed it.
Tune in next week.
This podcast was a Llanbobl Vision production, produced by Barry Castagnola at Russell Up Productions.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.